Amen. Amen. It's Gary Wheat is no stranger to this place and to us. Gary came over originally about 7 or 8 years ago. We became close friends, just people with the one heart, going for the same things. And he's been over here several times. I've been in his church several times. Their church has been a tremendous encouragement and support to us here in this city. Gary nailed some of the boards on the ground that you're sitting on, and that's how deep he's into this thing. And so let's give it up for Gary as he brings God's word.
If you walk on a board and it squeaks or falls through, that's probably the one I nailed down. See, I told you. Here we go. All right. I just want to echo just a great big thanks. I know that it takes a lot of work, a lot of prayer, and just an example of what... said that's Noel's height. That's why I love Noel so much, because I'm actually taller than he is. Not by much, not much. Couple of quick stories. If you want to, I'm going to be looking at Joshua chapter 14, so you can turn in your Bibles. And while you're turning there, right before we were leaving, our church has a connection with Liberty and with Noel and Sharon, but really with Liberty Church, because we were able to come and help construct the building that we're in now. And Noel and Sharon have come over several times, and we brought another team back over. And so when I was sharing what was taking place and what you guys were doing as a church, I wanted our church to understand, Sharon, what you're talking about. We're all part of the same team. You know, and so when people got saved and healed yesterday, our church was rejoicing. And there was a lady that she's not able to travel because of her physical disabilities and even her age. And she came up to me just before we were leaving, and she's a pastor. She said, I've already been praying for the trip, for all the teams that are going to be involved. And she said, this was her word. She said, I just feel like I'm part of the team, even though I'm not going to be there. And I thought, that's what we want, to understand that we're working for the same Lord and Savior, the same kingdom, and we all want to see people saved, set free, and delivered from the what Satan has had them trapped in for so many years. And even people, they've given up on them. They've written them off, but Jesus hasn't. Jesus hasn't. And so it's just, it was a challenge to me, because I thought, Lord, I always want to be on top. Not to bring attention to us, but so that people say, you know, I saw where he was and where he was heading, and now I see where he's at today. And that's what makes the difference. If you have your Bibles, of course, Joshua chapter 14. I was praying and really asking the Lord what to share with you. I really feel like I have a word for the church today, for Liberty specifically. We're actually doing a series through Joshua in Siloam Springs, our church. We've been in it all summer long. And I was actually looking at sharing a message, a different message, and as I was praying, and I was trying to get the other message together and what I thought I needed to share, I began looking at what is going to be preached today in our church. And I began to look at it, and I began to read over Joshua 14. And the Lord just dropped my heart and said, that's not just for Siloam Springs. This is for Liberty. And so I began to just pore over it and look at it. And even this morning, got up and went down and just was looking at the notes. And I really feel that I know in my heart that this is not just another day, but it's a day that God's going to share something that's going to impact your life. Not because Gary's sharing it, or because I'm from America and I'm here and I'm a guest. That's not the case, but it's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. So I want to pray, then I'm going to share what God has laid in my heart for you today. Father, thank you so much for the glorious, just glorious things that have taken place the past week. Father, I thank you so much for bringing us all together. It's not by accident or coincidence, but it's by divine appointment. It's for your purpose and for your glory. And so, Lord, I just pray right now that as I share your word, that I do it justice in communicating that every promise, every dream that you've given to us, we will see it come to pass. Not because of who we are, but because of who you are. And so, Lord, I pray that you will change us and challenge us today, and that you will encourage us. May your Spirit rest upon us today, and may, when we leave this place, may we take the word, and may we have it embedded in our life and in our heart. And we thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Joshua chapter 14. Let me share what's taken place, a little bit of a background. Joshua's in charge. They've just, they're in the promised land. They're in Canaan that has been promised to the children of Israel. Moses had taken the children of Israel out of Egypt, and they wandered in the desert for 40 years. But there was a promise that God had given to the children of Israel. He said, I'm going to take you out of bondage, and I'm going to put you in a place to where it's described as a land flowing with milk and honey. That was a promise that God gave to his children. And because of the disbelief that they had, remember Joshua and Caleb had gone with the other 10 spies, and there were 12 spies that went into the promised land. 10 of them came back and said, the giants are way too big. We know that God said that we could have the land and that every place we put our foot, it would be ours. But the giants are way too big. Joshua and Caleb said, yes, the giants are big, but our God's bigger. And they came back and they brought a good report. But there was a challenge. The children of Israel, they turned against Moses. They turned and said, no, we don't want to face the giants. And because of their disbelief, God said, okay, this generation will die. You will not obtain and possess the promise that I've given to you because of your unbelief. Well, fast forward, Moses has died. Joshua is in charge of the children of Israel. And now in chapter 14, Caleb is still alive because he had the promise and he believed, he had the faith. And now he's coming to Joshua and he's saying, 45 years ago, God gave me a promise, and I'm here to possess that promise. Think about it. 45 years later. And so that's where we pick up in Joshua chapter 14. 45 years later, after the promise had been given to Joshua, after the promise had been given to Caleb that, you know what, you can go forward. This generation will die off, but the next generation will inherit the promise because of their faith and belief in me. So I want to share with you just some characteristics of daring faith. Daring faith. What we did this past week, what you did as a church this past week, took daring faith. I remember last year when Noel and Sharon were sitting in our living room in our home, and he was talking about the great big day, and he said, we want you to come over and be a part of the great big day. And he started sharing with me that, in fact, he went to Zach's church that same time and that they were coming over, and he said, this is what we're doing. We've never done it before. We've never had three great big day events in one day. That's daring faith. There are people that are probably looking at you saying, you've lost it. How are you going to do three great big day events in one day? How's your stamina? How's your energy going to keep up going Wednesday, Thursday, Friday? And I started looking at it, and I was so impressed with the teams. And I would go and help Noel, and I'd be there sometimes. But the stamina and the strength, did you? 9 services in 3 days. Think about that. And people look at that and go, it's crazy. How are you going to do it? I don't know, but I have daring faith. I want to step out and do what God has called us to do. It's going to take time, it's going to take resources, it's going to take energy. But you know what? God said if we follow him, we have faith, we're going to reap the promise. Reap the promise. And so this morning, as I share about daring faith, here's Joshua and he's coming, you know, and he said, I want that mountain. Let me ask you this question. How important is faith in our relationship with Christ? How important is it? In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, it says, and it is impossible to please God without faith. Impossible to please God without faith. And anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists. That takes faith. Faith in believing in someone that you can't see. But this is the part that I want you to really hear. We understand that part. We quote it. We read it. But this morning as I was going back over my notes and I looked at this and I highlighted it and it says this in the very last part of Hebrews chapter 11, the very last part of that verse says, and he rewards those who sincerely seek him. He rewards those who sincerely seek him. In other words, he rewards those who have daring faith. Faith daring enough to trust in a God they cannot see. But when he lays something on their heart and said, you know what, God, I don't know how it's going to happen, but I'm going to seek you. And you'll be rewarded. So I want us to look at Joshua chapter 14 and look at verse 12, because I want you to notice the statement. Here's Caleb, and in verse 12, he makes this statement. Give me this hill, or give me this mountain, give me this hill country God has promised me. How many are sitting here today and God has promised you something? Raise your hand. God has given you a promise. Good. Now, I want you to hear me. God's promises will come to pass. God's promises will come to pass. For Caleb, it took 45 years before he saw that promise come to pass. Some of you have been waiting a long time for your promise. And this morning you're thinking, yeah, he's given me a promise, but I don't know when it's going to happen. I don't know what's going to take place. Some of us, while we're waiting on the promise, we try to fulfill the promise ourselves. Listen, during worship, when we were singing that last song, talking about it's just me and God. Just me and God. And I felt God drop this in my heart, in my spirit. He said this. If you could fulfill the promise yourself, you wouldn't need me. Listen, this is a word for somebody this morning. You have been trying to fulfill the promise that God has given you on your own. You can't do it. You're frustrated. You've almost given up because it's not happening. Listen to me. Listen to what the Lord's speaking to you this morning. If you could fulfill the promise, you wouldn't need God. You need God because it's His promise, not yours. And only God can fulfill His promise. So I want to talk this morning about daring faith. I want to give you three characteristics of daring faith. And if you're taking notes, I want you to write these down, because some of you are going to be challenged. Satan's going to come to you and he's going to try to challenge you and say, you know, that promise, don't worry, it's not going to take place. But listen, I want you to have daring faith. Say this after me. I can have daring faith. Say it again. I can have daring faith. Now let's say it all together. I can have daring faith. First characteristic, daring faith remembers the promise. Daring faith remembers the promise. Verse 6, it says, a delegation of the tribe of Judah led by Caleb came to Joshua. And he says, remember what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, about you and me. You and me. He's telling Joshua, Joshua, listen, you and me, we were there. And I want you to remember what the promise that the Lord had given to us. And he says this, he says, the servant of the Lord, he said, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land of Canaan. And I returned and gave an honest report. But my brothers went with me, frightened, and the people from entering the promised land of Egypt. For my part, I wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God. And he's coming to Joshua and he says, remember, remember. 45 years ago, God gave me this promise and he gave you this promise. And today's the day the promise will be fulfilled. Have you ever anticipated something and it's waiting and you're waiting and you're waiting and you're waiting. And then you wake up and you go, this is the day. I feel it. I feel it. Some of you woke up yesterday morning and you've been waiting for the great big day event. You've been praying and you've been doing different resources. You've been putting and inviting people, and you woke up yesterday morning and you were tired from the work and you were tired from the week and you were tired from working. But yesterday morning there was a surge of energy. There was a surge of excitement, even though, you know, you think, well, is this done and is that done and we need to get together and, well, we could do that a little bit better. But there was something inside stirring. It was the daring faith. It was stirring inside yesterday morning there was an energy. There was a buzz. Why? Because you were just like Caleb saying, you know what? Today's the day. Today's the day. We are not just going to have daring faith, but we're going to allow our daring faith to be exercised to claim and possess the promise that God's given to us. So listen, the characteristic of daring faith is that we remember the promise that God has given to us. You know, this is amazing, because I believe that Caleb, I know that he went through all the struggles the rest of the children of Israel did in the wilderness. They ran out of water. They ran out of food. The grumbling, the complaining. And Joshua said, I'm tired of eating manna. Get up in the morning. Go out. Gather manna. Next morning, go up. Go out. Gather manna. The next morning, get up. Go out. Gather manna. How would you like to eat chips for breakfast, lunch, and dinner every single day? Now, right, you know, one day would be fine. 2 days, Have your children ever said this? We always have. We always have. Yeah, for us, it's we always have mashed potatoes, or we always have green beans, or we always have corn, or we always have manna. We always have manna. And Caleb, he remembered the promise. I believe because he remembered the promise, it kept him going. Caleb's kids may have just said, "Dad, we always have manna. We always have manna. Manna in the morning, manna for breakfast, manna for lunch, manna for dinner. Can we have something else?" And I believe Caleb said, "One day we will not have manna anymore because we have been promised that we will be living in a land flowing with milk and honey." One day, I believe Caleb would get up some mornings and he would go out and he'd go, "Lord, today I'm having manna and I'm sick of eating manna. I'm tired of eating manna. My wife has made manna every way that you can make it. But one day, I remember the promise you gave to me 40 years ago. And I'm going to possess that promise. I have daring faith." Caleb had been picking up manna for over 40 years, but it was the thought of the grapes that kept him going. "Today I'm picking up manna, but I remember 40 years ago, I saw the size of the grapes that we brought back from the promised land." Listen, if you raised your hand a moment ago and you said, "Gary, I have a promise from God." Listen, you need to remember that promise. You may be eating manna today, but one day you're going to be feasting on a land flowing with milk and honey because it's the promise that God has given to you. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. We've got to remember the promise. We've got to remember the promise. God has given you a promise that you can take this city. You can take the city. Say, "But Gary, it's so large. You think it's big to you. Our town is 16,000 people. It's not very big compared to Dublin and the surrounding areas." I believe that God can not only help us take our city in Siloam Springs, Arkansas, and Lawson, Missouri, but I believe that God is saying, "Liberty Church, the city is for the taking. That's the promise I'm giving to you. It's not just for a few select people. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. For God so loved the world." Everyone. Remember the promise. There's going to be times you're going to feel like you're picking up manna. But remember the size of the grapes. Remember that God's given you a promise. Listen, don't allow your challenging circumstances to get your eyes off the promise. Because Caleb could have very easily gotten his eyes on the manna. Gotten his eyes on the grumbling and complaining that the other church people, the children of God. I know that no one in Liberty Church ever complains. But listen, there's going to be challenges. There's going to be times you're going to look and say, "I don't know how this is going to do it. Noel's crazy." Well, you know that's true. I can't believe that my leader, and not just Noel, but the leaders in this church, I can't believe that Moses had it, but he also had the people who had daring faith. Joshua had daring faith. Caleb had daring faith. And those are just some of them. But there was a whole lot more people saying, "You know what? If God promised it, I believe it's going to take place." Daring faith requires remembering the promise. Second of all, not only does it require remembering the promise, but it requires repeating the promise. Repeating the promise. We were talking this morning, and Richie, who's part of our team, he asked me, he said, he was asking me how I developed the messages and I was going through it I told him that I keep a file of illustrations, things that personally happened to me and to our family, or I see something and I'll write it and I'll file it away. And then when it's a great illustration or great story and I feel like it fits in the message, and I'll share it. And he said, "Well, you must have a whole life memoir of what's taking place." I don't know if he was trying to tell me I was old or what. But he said that he was talking to a gentleman one day, and the gentleman said that he was older. And he said, "I wished I would have written down stories of my life." He said, "Because at my age, I know I have some great stories to tell. I just can't remember them." And there's going to be times, There's going to be times, and I want to encourage you to write your promise down, because not only do you need to remember that promise, you need to repeat that promise. Not for God to be reminded. He never forgets. But I don't know about you, but personally, I get busy. I get discouraged. I feel stressed. I feel the pressure. I feel the responsibility. And I forget that it's a promise from God and not a promise from man. Man will break his promise. God will keep his promise. And there are times that I have to go back and read and repeat, God, this is what you promised me. It's not a promise from the assemblies of God. It's not a promise from my pastor. It's not a promise from my best friend. It's not a promise from my spouse. It's not a promise from my kids or my grandparents. It's a promise from God. And God, I wrote it down not just to remember it, but there are going to be days I need to continue repeating it, repeating it, repeating it. Not because repeating will make it happen, but it makes my faith be reminded. This is what God, Jehovah God, has stated. And what God states, it will take place. And this is what Caleb was doing. We see this in verse 6 and 12. Caleb is repeating the promise. He's even reminding Joshua. Now, I don't know if Joshua forgot or not, but it kind of gives that implication, because Caleb comes to Joshua and says, Joshua, you were there. And Joshua was leading the people. He had the stress. He had the pressure. He was strategizing military movements. And I believe that Caleb came to him and said, Joshua, listen, guy, remember, you and I went into the promised land. And remember what took place? We saw the size of the grapes, and we came back and gave a great report. You remember that, Joshua? I not only want to remember it, but I want to repeat it day in and day out. God, this is the promise that you've given to me. This is the promise that you've given to me. Listen, there's going to be times you're going to have to repeat the promise to yourself and also repeat it to others. Get up in the morning and look in the mirror. And after you brush your teeth and you comb your hair, some of you just need to brush your teeth because not much hair to brush. But after you brush your teeth and getting ready. I've just lost everybody. But after you've brushed your teeth and you've combed your hair and you're looking in the mirror, before you leave that mirror that day, because you don't know what that day's going to come to bring, you need to have that promise written right in front of you, and you need to repeat that promise. Repeat that promise. Repeat that promise. God, you promised me a land flowing with milk and honey. You promised that to me. I'm not reminding you. I'm reminding myself. And I'm repeating this every day. And I'm going to pray that promise every single day. Can you imagine what went through Caleb's mind when months turned into years and the promise hadn't been fulfilled? Not only did after the months turned into years, then the years turned into decades. And the promise hadn't been fulfilled. The decades turned in. He saw a whole generation die. And the promise still hadn't been fulfilled. I believe that there were days that Caleb had to repeat to himself, that's the promise God's given to me. That's the promise that God's given to me. That's the promise God's given to me. You see, what we have to do is we have to repeat those things. The repetition of the promise kept it fresh in his mind. Kept it fresh in his mind. Now, I'm sure that there were times that Caleb kept having to repeat that promise to himself. God promised promised me that I would live in the promised land. He told me that I would live in a land flowing with milk and honey. I know what's taking place today, but I'm going to keep on repeating that promise that God has given to me. You may be sitting here today, and you may be the only believer in your household, but God has promised you that your family will be saved. You have to get up every morning. God, I know that I'm being ridiculed. I know that people don't understand me, but you have given me this promise that my house will be saved, and I'm standing on that promise. I'm going to repeat that promise every single day. Satan will come to you and go, that's just a dream. And you can look and say, yes, but because it's God's desire and God's dream, it'll come to pass. And I'm going to repeat that promise every single day. You see, words carry the power of life and death. 12 spies went to the promised land. 10 came back with a negative report. 2 came back with a positive report. And it was only Joshua and Caleb that was going to go into the promised land. Listen. When God tells you to step out in faith, and you have to have daring faith, you're not only going to have to remember the promise, you're going to have to repeat the promise, because there are going to be the 10 spies that are going to tell you, I know the size of the grapes, but I also see the size of the giants. Caleb and Joshua, they saw both. They saw the size of the giants and they saw the size of the grapes. The difference with this, they desired the size of the grapes, the reward, more than they wanted to face and challenge the giants. The giants were there. They weren't in denial. We can't be in denial. We can't say, oh, you know, there are people, I don't know if you have people like this in Ireland, but people in America, they have this thing, if they have a cold, they'll be sneezing and coughing. They'll go, I don't have a cold. I don't have a cold. I don't have a cold. I'm like, yes, you do. Stop sneezing on me. They're in denial. Now, if you're sick and you say, I believe the promise that God's given to me that I can be healed and stand on that promise, but they weren't in denial. But they believe the promise. They believe the promise. And words can carry the power of life and death. They did ignore the challenge, but they knew who had given them the promise. There's a gentleman, he's an architect, and he's helping us. We're in a building project, and he's a believer in the Lord, but his relationship is kind of, he's going through a difficult time. And I was talking to him before we left, and he said, I asked him, I said, Terry, how are things going? And we've had a really downturn in the economy. And he said, you know, Gary, he said, it's okay. It's okay. Where's Thelma? Is Thelma here this morning? That's her say. It's okay. And he said, it's okay. And he said, the reason why it's okay is, and he said this, and I wrote it down, I know who's large and in charge. I know who's large and is in charge. And I told him, I said, Terry, I'm going to write that down. I'm going to remember it. Because you see, we're in a building program. There's days that I feel the stress. And I feel the pressure of trying to raise funds and trying to make sure that we're meeting code and making sure that people are part of the 2 spies and not the 10 spies and casting vision and making sure that we're on the right track. And I'm listening to the Lord. And there's sometimes I go, God, I don't know how it's going to happen. And when he said those words, I wrote them down. I thought, I'm going to remember that every single day. I know who's large and is in charge. I've got to remember it. Words can carry power of life and death. We need to not only remember, but we need to repeat. There's going to be times that you're going to be in the middle of the problem, middle of challenges, and that's when you're going to have to repeat the promise that God has given to you. John chapter 14 and verse 1, there's a wonderful promise that Jesus has given to us. And there are days that I have to repeat this promise because the challenge is so big. And Jesus said, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If it were not so, I would have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you. And when everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be where I am. I don't know about you, but there's a lot of days I have to repeat that promise. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. God has given us a promise that we will one day live in a land flowing with milk and honey, and it's called heaven. All the worries, all the stress, all the difficulties, all the challenges, all the tears, they'll all be gone. That's what keeps me going, because I repeat the promise. Today could be the day Jesus could come back. Today could be the day that Jesus would come back. Why? Because he promised it. That's what keeps me going. That's what keeps me going. When you're depressed, when you're down, say, you know what? This is just for a season. Jesus can deliver me now. But one of these days, when the trumpet sounds, he's going to ultimately deliver us out of this world so that we can be where he is. I don't know about you, but this world is not my goal. Heaven is my goal. Meeting Jesus is my goal. And there are days that when you feel like giving up, there are days when you're going to be tired. There are days when you're going to be depressed and you're wondering, God, why am I here? Go to John chapter 14 and verse 1. Trust in God, because he has prepared a place for you. This world is not my ending place. It's my beginning place. My ending place is in heaven. But I've got to have daring faith. I've got to have daring faith. And then lastly, so daring faith remembers the promise, repeats the promise. But I love this. Daring faith reaps the promise. Reaps the promise. Joshua chapter 14 and verse 13, it says, so Joshua blessed Caleb and gave Hebron to him as his portion of land. Hebron still belongs to the descendants of Caleb, son of Jephunneh and Kenizzite, because he wholeheartedly followed the Lord God of Israel. Now, verse 15 is huge. And he talks about Hebron and what it was named before and what the name was changed to. And this is what two things that we have to understand when you read this passage of Scripture. Not only did God give Caleb the promise and Caleb began living in the land, but he began living in the land. And it says in the very last verse of verse 15, and the land had rest from war. The land had rest from war. Listen, when you reap the promise, the battle is over. It's won. It's won. There's a battle now that you have with the promise that God's given to you. You haven't possessed the promise yet, but listen, once the promise has been delivered, it's been delivered. It says, and he lived in that land, and the land had rest from war. So when the promise is given, Satan's going to come and say, you don't deserve that promise. Oh, yes, I do. Because I'm a child of God. This is the second part. This is where the name change comes into play. You understand that names have meanings. They have meanings. And the land had a new name and a new reputation. Because the land had been known as a land of giants. That's what the name meant, the land of giants. But after Caleb, after he had reaped the promise, the name of the land changed. And the new name meant the seat of association. Association with God. And people are going to see the promise be fulfilled in your life. And they're going to look at you and go, but that's not how you used to be. That's not how you used to be. Your name has been changed. You're different. Who are you associated with? I'm associated with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I used to be known as a drug dealer. I used to be known as an addict. I used to be known as an abusive husband and abusive father. But today, my name has been changed. The promise has been delivered. Now I'm known as I'm associated as a child of God, as a child of the King. When you have daring faith, you will reap the promise God has given to you. Hebrews chapter 11 is filled with people who had daring faith and who reap the promises of God. Even a prostitute is named in the hall of faith. Isn't that wonderful? Listen, you have to remember, though, that between the promise and between the payoff, there's process. And if you don't handle the process well, you won't reap the payoff. People saw, the 10 people, 10 spies saw the same thing that Joshua and Caleb saw. They weren't willing to go through the process. And they died because of their unbelief. Some of you this morning, you're in the valley of decision. God has given you a promise. You have a decision to make. You have to decide whether or not you're going to be willing to go through that process in order to receive the payoff. In our society today, we don't have very much patience. Everything is instant. Just last night and throughout this week, I was on my iPad. My wife is in Arkansas. I'm in Dublin, Ireland, in the city center. And I'm sitting there and I'm speaking to her face-to-face over the internet, FaceTiming. I love technology. And it started getting a little staticky. A little delay. And she said, can you repeat that? Because you're about three words behind and it's skipping every once in a while. And I got impatient. I need faster internet. I need faster. I'll try this. I wasn't allowing the process to take place. Have to restart it. Listen. Allow the process to take place. It's during that process that you grow. Caleb grew during those 40 years that he was waiting on the promise. He was able to come to Joshua and say, listen, I remember the promise, and I'm repeating it to you. Now it's time to reap the promise. I've gone through the process. Give me that mountain. I still consider myself a young man. Yeah, it's her again. Noel, do you have timeout seats here? No. Caleb was over 80 years old, and he told Joshua, I'm still as strong today as I was 40 years ago. Now give me that mountain. He didn't ask for the mountain. Listen, you don't have to ask for the promise that's already been given to you. Caleb didn't go up to Joshua and, "Joshua, I still feel like I can handle it. There are giants in the land." He looked at Joshua and said, "I know I'm over 80, but I'm still strong as I was when the promise was given." And he didn't say, "Would you please let me take the promise? Can I possess the promise? Please, would you? You know, God said it, but would you?" No, I believe he looked at Joshua and, "Joshua, I'm still as strong as I was when the promise was given. Now give me that mountain. Give me that mountain." Joshua said, "There it is." And he had rest. No war, just peace. Those of you who raised your hand earlier and said, "God's given me a promise," I want you to remember, keep that daring faith. Keep that daring faith. Don't give up. Don't give up. Let the process go through, and you'll be able to reap the promise. So, Father, we come this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you, God, that you give us the promise. And, Father, we thank you that promise is not conditioned on who I am. The promise is conditioned on who you are. And Lord, many hands were raised this morning that you'd given us a promise. And many of those people are still waiting on the promise to be fulfilled. So God, I pray that the spirit of Caleb would just come over us today. Father, that same spirit that you placed inside of Caleb that said, "I know it's been a long time since I've been promised this, but give me that mountain. Give me that mountain. Today's the day. Today's the day." So Lord, I ask that spirit just come and sweep over us this morning. As you have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning, the first thing I want to ask you this morning is say, "You know, Gary, I'm new to this, and I don't know really what's taking place, but I believe in God, but I don't have a relationship, and I don't know if I can. Would he love someone like me?" It takes faith. It takes faith to believe that someone would love you. I know in my own personal life, I had to come to grips and believe that God would love me in spite of myself and in spite of things that I had done. That takes faith. A measure of faith. And God's given to every man a measure of faith. And maybe you're here this morning, you've heard the stories, you saw the video. You've been in the presence of an almighty God, and there's something that's stirring inside of you. You say, "You know, I want that promise. I want that promise that you talked about, that Jesus would come back. I don't want to be in this world and look and say, this is the end. But I want to see that there's a heaven. I want to be a part of heaven. I want that relationship with Jesus Christ. I want my name to be written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. I want to be part of something bigger than me. I want to be part of a kingdom that will not fade away. I want Jesus Christ not only as my Savior, but as my Lord. I'm tired of trying to fulfill the promises myself, but I want to give my heart to Jesus Christ this morning." Would you raise your hand right where you're at? Just slip it up. Just slip it up. Yes, yes, yes. So I want that relationship with Jesus Christ. Just slip it up. Join these that are already raising their hand and say, "That's me, Gary. Today is the day. Today is the day." You're not here by accident. You're not here just by happenstance. You're here to have a divine appointment with Jesus Christ. Thank you for raising your hands. You can put them down. Now, I want to talk just briefly before we pray with those that God's given you a promise and you raised your hand earlier, or maybe you didn't raise your hand earlier, but you're struggling. You're struggling because you've been discouraged. You haven't seen that promise fulfilled. Some of you have even given up on the promise. And Satan has tried to tell you, "Well, you've messed up too many times, and God's not going to keep that promise because of what you've done." I've got great news for you today. God's going to keep his promise. He's going to keep his promise. And if you're here today and if you're struggling, if you've been trying to fulfill that promise yourself and it hasn't been working, you can't do it on your own. But you're here today and God's given you that promise, and you've almost given up on that promise. He said, "But today, I'm going to have daring faith. I want to have daring faith." I want you to raise your hand. Say, "That's me. That's me. That's me. I'm going to let that daring faith continue on. When the circumstances get tough, I'm going to remember the promise. I'm going to repeat the promise. And one day I'm going to reap that promise."